Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the At Large ICANN Academy Working Group call on Tuesday, 2nd of April 2013 at 20 UTC. On the call today we have Sandra Hoferichter, Glenn McKnight, Avery Doria, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Yaovi Atohun, Oksana Pritkotko, Ron Sherwood, and Liz Sweezy. We have apologies, from Hong Sui, Jonathan Cohen, Thomas Rickett, and Natalia Enciso. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I remind all participants to please state their name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Julia and Sylvia, Heidi, Gisela, for supporting us. And thank you also for participating in this late call prior to the Beijing meeting. This call will only have one purpose, and I recognize there was a demand on the mailing list or in this working group to discuss a little bit more and to deep the survey outcome. Might go through the questions one by one, and I prepare the presentation. And I'd just like to reassure, are you all able to scroll this presentation on your own screen as far as you are connected to Adobe Connect?
Sandra, this is Heidi. Some people are not able to hear you, so can you speak a little bit louder, please?
Yes, I try to yell on you. Is it better now?
Oh, yeah, for me, much better. So let's see how others. Yaovi, can you hear anything?
Yeah, better.
Okay. So the purpose for tonight is go through the survey one by one. And I prepared the presentation where all the questions which are part of the survey and all the answers are listed. And I would ask this group to agree on the conclusion we can draw from the results, from the responses we received. And we will then present those in Beijing during the ICANN Academy meeting and also during other occasions as the at large or as the ALAC meetings. So the first slide, and Heidi, I just have to reassure, when I scroll, is this then for all the participants as well, or do they have to do it their own?
This is Heidi. Sandra, I'm just checking. Are you able to scroll? Yaovi, you're saying you can't.
I am.
You're a chair. You're a host, Sandra, so you will be able to. Okay. I think you should be able to scroll now. Well, actually, no. Now someone's scrolling.
I am able. I'm just wondering if...
Now everyone should be able to scroll on their own.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm on the second slide, which is the purpose of the survey. We just to recall the Toronto meeting. After the Toronto meeting, it was decided that we set up a survey to find out a little bit more about the needs from the different stakeholder groups, and a small group of volunteers drafted the survey actually in Toronto, and it was finished later on the ICANN Academy mailing list. The purpose of the survey was threefold. First of all, we want to map all the existing capacity building provisions within ICANN. And with capacity building, we only speak about educational capacity building. The second purpose was help to identify what's possibly missing, what is the demand from the different stakeholder groups. And the third purpose was looking forward should help to harmonize and to synchronize all the current and future models which are offered in ICANN or stakeholder group or in a constituency, not necessarily during an ICANN meeting, but maybe during the year for their own community. So I go to the next slide then, which is called the fact sheet. As a result, we had a survey with 14 questions. We tried to make it as compromised as possible, but still 14 questions were to be answered. It was sent out to all ICANN stakeholder groups. In the first place, they were sent out to the chairs with the question or with a request to forward this to their communities, and they had the chance either to submit one survey per stakeholder group, depends on the way they are structured and the way they are organized. It was also possible to submit multiple surveys from one stakeholder group. We started the survey end of November. Actually, it was planned to have the survey open until before Christmas, 20th of December. By the 20th of December, we realized, okay, the time was probably a little bit too short, and the Christmas break will keep people, or the time before Christmas break keeps people busy as usual. So we gave an extension until the 4th of January. In this time, we received 20 seconds, and I put 21 in brackets, responses, because the survey results, they clearly say 21 responses, but when I count the detailed fact sheet, which is also available on the the wiki space, 22nd responses, so I might have to check that with Matt or Heidi later on, but this is still something which has to be sorted out to be very precise in this regard. Unfortunately, we had no participation from the ASO, from the RSSAC, and from the SSAC. But all other constituencies, or sometimes also the stakeholder groups, did participate in this survey. I go now to the next slide, where I mapped the responses per stakeholder group. We can see we have a huge participation from the at-large, but this is not surprisingly, because we have 5 regions. And at-large is structured in a very much bottom-up way. So different at-large communities, ALSs, participated in this survey. From Naralo, I know they made, obviously, one Naralo. So this is why we have a pretty good participation from the at-large community. Compared to the other constituencies, we have one result from the CCNSO, 2 from the GAC. From the GNSO, the participation was pretty good, 6 responses from ENC, and 1 from the business constituency and from the registry stakeholder group, and 1 from NOMCOM. In total, as you would count them, 22, but later on in the survey it says 21, that's why I put that in brackets. Okay. Now I would actually like to start the analysis of the question one by one, and this is also the point when I actually I am more interested in what you have to say to each of the questions, and I will take my notes and put in the conclusions to be presented during the meeting in Beijing. The first question was just a general one to put in the details. I think really draw a conclusion from that. I think the conclusion or the analysis we would give at this stage is what I have listed on the 2 sheets before, actually, which are the facts, the breakdown of our survey. At this point, I'd like to ask, are there any remarks on the first question or on what I have presented so far? I would then ask you to raise your hand in the Adobe chat room, or when you're on the phone, then just say your name. Okay, Yaobi, you raise your hand. You have the floor, please. Yaobi, you might be muted.
Thank you for speaking. My question is on... Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Very...
Okay. Is it better? Is it better? Are we speaking?
Yes, it's better. Yes, Yaobi. Please go on.
Okay. My question is about the number of answers. Like some constituency, we have more than one answer. So is the question directed to the group or to members of the group? So my expectation is to have one answer from each constituency. If I take a particular example, like in Accra, we have two, around we have three, so these answers are for members, so why do you have three or more than one answer? I don't know if my question is clear. Thank you.
Ovi, this is what I tried to explain before. It depends on how the constituency or how the stakeholder group is organized. Some stakeholder groups indicated already that it won't be possible to submit one survey representing the opinion of the entire stakeholder group, so they decided to submit multiple surveys, like for the NPOC. Other constituency or stakeholder groups, like I assume it's the case for Naralo or for Afralo, they represented one survey representing the whole stakeholder group. So we have to take this into account that the results are sort of a mixture between individual answers of individual members and answers representing a whole stakeholder group. Yeah, Obi, does it answer your question?
Thank you very much. It's okay.
Okay. Are there any other questions or remarks so far? Okay, this is not the case, but I take Yaobi's intervention as one of the conclusions that we have to make that clear, that the results of the survey are a mixture between individual answers and answers representing a stakeholder group. Okay, let's go to the next slide then. It's the question two. The question was, and I read it again, your group or committee perform any educational training? The reason why we asked this question was we like to find out what kind of educational training is in place already for specific groups. And as an example, we said it could be like the tech day for the CCNSO. Almost all participants answered these questions, and from the answer we could see that yes, they are performing educational training. And on the next slide, I listed the answers. So because the question was, if you perform educational training, then please describe. And at this stage, I would like to ask you, what could be the conclusion out of this, because the answers are pretty much diverse, very detailed,
try to enlarge this a little bit so that you might be able to read it better. Like it's a bit too small. The window is a bit too small to enlarge it. But you can also find all these answers in the Excel sheet, which is on the wiki space. Any comments or question on this? On this question, or on question number two. Okay, this is not the case. So my conclusion would be that half of the respondents said yes, okay, we perform something, but you have to look very much in detail what they are offering as capacity building. But almost another half says no, we do not perform any educational training. And from this, I would personally draw the conclusion that if half of the respondents of the stakeholder groups do not perform education training, there must be a space for improvement. Space for improvement, which could be a module later on filled in the ICANN Academy framework. You might remember this pyramid we were discussing. Okay, any questions, any conclusions? Because I don't want to draw all the conclusions on my own. I'm actually more interested in what you have to say and what conclusion you would draw from, well, let's say such a 50-50 answer with a lot of detailed... Any recommendations? Okay, this is not the case, then I move on to the next slide, which is question number three. The question was, do you provide education, training, or capacity development programs for individual participants in your community? With this question, we would like to find out what kind of educational training is already in place for your community. These individual participants are not necessarily active ICANN meeting attendees or participants who are organized in ICANN or a group or committee. We focus here on people who are working for a registry, registrar, or any other affected business, for instance. This question was that we expect that some stakeholder groups do offer capacity building outside of ICANN, which has nothing to do with the ICANN meeting at all, but which is an educational ground for their stakeholder group. It could be, for instance, the what RIPE is offering. RIPE, for instance, is offering a lot of capacity building for their community, for their stakeholder groups. They are doing this not in in line with ICANN meetings. They are doing this during the year. And the rationale was to find out what are they doing and what is already in place. And you see there is... 38%, which say yes, we do offer something, but the majority of responses said no, there is nothing in place. So for me, this would be another indicator to say, okay, there is space for and could actually fill a gap and offer also capacity building provisions, not only for ICANN attendees, but also for wider community. For at large, it could be the ALS, which is not necessarily attending the ICANN meeting. For the technical community, it could be the technicians, the employees in registries, in companies, and so on and so forth. And this could be something which could be offered by ICANN in the future. And a good tool for this is actually the online platform, which is currently under development by ICANN staff. And they engaged Matthew Shears. I made the announcement on the mailing list, and I guess you heard about this already. If you did not hear about this, please ask your questions now at this stage. I will be happy to give you some more background on this. But this question, from my point of view, goes very much into that there is a need, and at this stage we should look into online tools to provide additional capacity building for stakeholder groups which are not necessarily attending ICANN meetings. Are there any questions or comments on this question number 3? This is not the case. I hope you can understand me and hear me all, because
we can hear you.
No interaction at all. That's unusual. Okay, so I would then move on to the next slide. Yeah, this is the deeper analysis for question number 3, which kind of training they offer. And you could actually see that it is mentioned on internet governance, mentioning all the countries where the participants came from. This shows pretty clear that provisions which are offered outside ICANN do reach the global community as long as they are in place already. And so I would say if ICANN is giving more effort into the global community and offers also capacity building for the broader for a broader audience, then this would be very well received also in the latest corner of the world. So I move on to question number 4. And this is pretty clear. Have you identified any education, training, orientation needs, or capacity development programs for your participants in ICANN? In this question, we are focusing on active ICANN contributors, organized in ICANN, or group committees. So this is actually the opposite from question number 3, where we were looking into the global community not attending ICANN meetings or not necessarily attending ICANN meetings. We are looking with this question detailed into what are the needs for those who are ICANN volunteers, who are participating in ICANN meetings and are contributing to policy making processes within ICANN. And it says pretty clear, yes, there is a demand. So this is, for me, a very clear sign to move forward with the ICANN Academy concept, with the different modules which came, or which I mentioned already as a conclusion from before. So actually this is the most and clearest answer for me from edH. Any comments or question on this question number 4? Okay, this is not the case, then I move forward to question number 5. The question was, if you have answered with yes to the question above, which needs were identified? Select all that apply. I try to enlarge this a little bit. Okay. Okay, so a majority says, okay, we are looking into, or we have identified training or orientation needs for new members in our group. The idea where the ICANN Academy concept or the face-to-face leadership program or the online platform we are discussing now came from. That new member, that it takes a very long time for new members to get to full speed, to be full active participant in ICANN before they understand how it's functioned and all that. I think all this is behind this answer. The second option was training or orientation needs for the community. This goes back to question number 3, where we said, okay, do you have any needs for your broader community, which are not necessarily ICANN attendees? Even there, as a strong majority said, yes, there are training and orientation. ICANN and its processes. It's obviously still an issue where we have to look into more detail how to explain to the different groups what ICANN processes are. And I think this comes from the phenomenon that all the stakeholder groups are more or less sitting in their silos or and with their things, but don't have necessarily the overview what's going on elsewhere in ICANN and to get the whole picture about ICANN and its processes. Still, a majority says, yes, there is a need, or they have need clarity on how to participate in ICANN. I think this might affect especially those who are not yet participants in ICANN, but who maybe like to become, or people who should be convinced to become an active participant. The next one was, issues your group or your community is dealing with even though there is a pretty much majority, 66%, which says, yes, this is still an issue where we have training and orientation needs. Surprisingly for me, the development or improvement of leadership skills for your group representatives was not seen by the majority as a training or orientation need, because this was something where the ICANN, where the face-to-face leadership program was not mainly focusing on, but it was on the agenda to say, okay, our leaders, our chairs, our working group leaders, they have to deal with other working group leaders, they have to lead a group, and it might be worthwhile to give them some more tools, how to find consensus, how to negotiate, how to participate in the policy development process, and so on and so forth. But obviously, this is not on top of the agenda from the stakeholders. Understanding current issues under discussion in ICANN was answered by 100%. Everybody is in the opinion that this should be discussed and or that there should be capacity building provisions in this regard, so there is more need for explanation. Next one was understanding ICANN mission and responsibilities. A majority also said, yes, we need clarity on that. Understanding ICANN's role in the internet ecosystem, I think under the current discussion with Wikid, this is even more on top of the agenda than it was when we when the survey was drafted, actually. So I think this is an issue which should be definitely dealt with. There was also half of the people who said, okay, online training is a need that we have identified and other topics. Other topics where only 33%, and I listed those other topics on the next slide. And I would not go in detail because it is very, or these are partly very personal statements and very personal views, which are worth looking at them and which should feed into the discussion, but which are for a general conclusion a little bit difficult to map. Any questions or comments on question number 5? Because this was a rather large question with multiple answers. Yes, Yaobi?
We can see that we have 100% for understanding current issues under discussion in ICANN. And also my personal view is the point very important for ICANN Academy, because current issues are changing. So this will require a lot of work than knowing what is ICANN. I think this topic, like how ICANN is structured, the various groups, there are, for me, there are manual things that people can learn easily. But when we talk about current issues under discussion, these are important, these are changing, these are a lot. So this will require for ICANN Academy a lot of work, because when there is like a policy discussion or a call for comment, people need to, there is a background information, description on ICANN webpage. But it's not easy for everybody just to read and understand. So I think that it is a big piece for ICANN Academy. When you have something like that, the Academy will provide something online, maybe in other languages or in a simple language that people can understand quickly, and then they can contribute to the debate. So, and we see there that people, 100% of people, see that it is very important to understand current issues in ICANN. So this is my comment that this will require a lot of work for the academic group. Thank you.
Thank you. You're a little bit difficult to understand you, but I just like to repeat what I understood, and please correct me if I understood it wrong. You mentioned that understanding current ICANN issues, which received 100% of replies of answers, will take a lot of effort to be organized, to be settled in a framework like the ICANN Academy. And as far as I understood you, you think it's not possible to do this maybe in the face-to-face leadership program, and not only in or not only with one tool, but it should be a separate module where we have to draw a lot of attention on, obviously. Is that right, Yaobi?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I absolutely agree with you. And when I remember, when I recall our, which was drafted almost 1 year ago, it was a 3-day curriculum, and understanding current ICANN issues was included in this curriculum. I think, if I recall it right, it was for 1 day, dealing only with current ICANN issues. But this might be even too less, or maybe not enough to cover
current ICANN issues under discussion, and I think we might have to look into other tools and other modules how we could cover this gap and how this could be dealt with, because we cannot cover this all in 1, 2 days, 3 days leadership program only, and not with an online tool alone. I think this must be a joint effort between different tools, and the synchronization and harmonization should focus very much on current ICANN issues and how they could be explained, how we could deal with it a better way than it is obviously the case now. Any other questions or comments? Okay, if this is not the case, then I would move forward to question number 6. Number 6 was, which target groups in your organization might benefit from capacity development programs? We offered a choice of answers. It could be newcomer, observers, contributors, leaders, and others. And actually, the terminology of those participants was drawn from the IH strategy, which was developed and presented last year in Costa Rica, because these are exactly the stakeholder groups which were defined cross-constituency-wise by ICANN staff, and where the outreach program or the outreach effort is actually built on. So the majority, or actually there is a majority for all these stakeholder groups except for observers and for others. Others were... What others mean is listed in the small table next to the answer, and I don't think we have to pay that much attention to others, but we should pay attention to newcomers, to contributors, and to leaders. And looking at the newcomers, we are programs already in place, like the newcomers launch, the fellowship program, which somehow covers for the newcomers, but obviously must be improved. And I think this is no question, because this is an ongoing process. We have the contributors. I think these are people who are contributing or who are member of a stakeholder group, like the ALAC or the NPOC or whatever. So these people might are seen as to be benefit a lot of any program which could be developed. And of course the leaders. Leaders are not only the chairs of the stakeholder group or a constituency. I think leaders are also those who take on responsibility, sharing a working group, sharing a committee, and so on and so forth. So this goes very much into the direction that taking into account that we have all newcomers, which might be improved and developed further, that we should look into a new programs for the leaders and for the contributors from the stakeholder groups and constituencies. Do you agree to this conclusion or have questions or comments? Okay. If this is not the case, then I would move forward to question number 7. Q
pretty clear. Would your group be interested in a leadership development program? And we specifically asked for a leadership development program, which covers actually the group I just from question number 6, the contributors and the leaders. Yes, they would. So no question, there should be some developed for the leadership level and for the contributors level. Question number 8, is this program preferred to be face-to-face? And this question was actually in order to find out, because there was a discussion going on before, and I'm sure you're all remember this, if we really need a face-to-face program, if it's only matching a too small amount of people, if it isn't better to develop rather online programs or take advantage from existing other online programs like the Blue Foundation or summer schools, which are not online, but any other things which are around. And I think with this question we have a clear answer. No, there is also the need for, but from the answers before that, we know that this is only half of the truth, and we need both. We need a face-to-face program for leaders and contributors, but we also need definitely an online tool for the broader community, for the global community, and yes, also for leaders and contributors who have not only the time to spend more time for an ICANN meeting as they do for now already. Questions, comments on this? If this is not the case, then I move forward to question number 9. The question was, who do you think should attend to such a, so it was possible to mark more than one or all. It purely says, yes, there is a demand for leaders and also for potential and prospective leaders. There is a minority which is focusing on others. You can see what was specified in the small table next to the answer. But it clearly says, yes, leaders, newly elected, selected leaders, and prospective and potential leaders should benefit from any sort of training program, either online or face-to-face. Question number 10. With this question, we try to find out very pragmatically how to organize or how to move forward with our planning for the different modules within the ICANN Academy framework. And it is a pretty diverse answer with no clear statement when such a meeting should be organized. There, for all answers, there are good arguments behind. But on one stage, we must somehow decide, at least for a pilot program, when such a pilot program should be organized. And I would say we can take this slight majority from 38%, which says it should be the third ICANN meeting in the year, which is the IGM, right after the NOMCOM nominations. And we should use this meeting to organize a pilot program and then learn from it if it is really the best time in the year or not. We might come to other solutions later on, but for a first pilot, I would opt for the third ICANN meeting in the year. And I think this under discussion with the setup of the new meeting strategy working group, I think they will look into how ICANN meetings are currently structured, how they will restructure, and I think we will know more about this on a later stage, if the third meeting is the right place or if it should be organized in a different manner. Questions, comments on this question number 10? Okay, if this is not the case, then I would just provide you the detailed answers on when it said that when the answer was on another time. And the answer on this question goes very much again into the direction that not only during the ICANN meetings capacity building is necessary, but also using other provisions, other tools, and during the whole year. Question number 11. Again, not a very clear majority for any of the given answers. The question was, how long would you propose should such a program last? There is a slight majority for a 2 days program, and I think the 2 days program is the most or has the greatest chance or the greatest possibility to be organized. 1 day is probably too short. 3 days is probably too long. There are others which then refer, again, I'm repeating myself now. So I think we can take out of this question that, yes, a 2 days program would be the best option for a first pilot leadership program. Question number 11. It was strange. The answer was not provided by the survey tool. So what I did here, I listed the answers next to the picture. The question was, would you prefer that such a program was scheduled prior or after an ICANN meeting? And there was a pretty clear response on doing it prior to the ICANN meeting. One said, okay, it could be also after. Three said, could be either or. And five responses were not very clear. You can read these answers in the detailed document available on the wiki space. But I think this answer is pretty clear. Prior to the ICANN is at the IGM, I think this is something we can take as a conclusion from the questions from the answers we try to get with this survey. Question number 13, how often should such a program be scheduled? Also a clear majority to do it annually. Some people like to have it at every ICANN meeting. My assumption is that at every ICANN meeting refers probably to programs like the newcomers program, because you always have newcomers and they should be always accommodated and they should be always educated in a separate program. And I think this is really something which should be organized at every ICANN meeting. This is already the case. A minority said on demand. I think on demand I would not opt for this. I would not consider this answer. And there was a significant amount who said 25%. It should be others than annually. And the answers for others are listed next to the picture. And I think when it says monthly, or Pacific ICANN meeting twice a year, or there are several training programs in place, and there must no duplication of efforts. That's right. This goes very much into the direction of other modules to cover other specific needs. Then a leadership program could cover, which is organized annually, once a year. Questions or comments so far? I must admit I did not follow the. So if there are any questions, because I can only speak and I cannot read in parallel. So if there are questions which were not answered or which were raised or comments in the chat, then please raise your hand and do it again. Okay, no hand raised, then I would move forward to question number 14. What are the expectations, responsibilities and obligations for those who participate in such a program? I think this question is a very important one, because all the efforts which are already in place, which should be developed, should be measured on their outcome. So it's very important to say, okay, what should be the outcome? What, how can we prove if we could, or if the module, if the capacity building provision, the leadership program, the online module, if this expectation could be reached, if it served the purpose? I will move forward to the detailed questions, the detailed answers on this question. You can see that the answers on this are pretty diverse, and it's probably difficult for all of us to read the small letters here on the screen. But what I would propose is that, and I think this is a semi-working group, that we are looking into the success and to the results of each provision or of each module which is going to be developed now. We should be able to say, okay, for this and this module we are expecting this and this outcome, and how can we measure this outcome? I think this is something which is very important if you spend a lot of money actually on any program, and it's very important for the proof of what this working group and what ICANN will be doing in the next years, because otherwise there will always be criticism or doubts if the modules are really matching what they should actually match. Questions or comments on question number 14? Okay. So, not the case. My plans for Beijing would actually be that I would fill in this presentation with the conclusions, publish this again for comments on the ICANN Academy mailing list, and I would then only quickly go through the results of the survey during our meeting in Beijing on 8th of April. We have only 1 hour from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, because I would like to spend the most part of this hour discussing the online tool which is going to be developed, or which is going to be developed by Matthew Shears. I hope he will be available to explain us a little bit his ideas. I know he is also very much interested in what this working group can contribute to the development of such a comprehensive tool. And the third part of our meeting in Beijing should then be to on the course of action for Durban and for Buenos Aires. So to say, if we are planning the face-to-face leadership program for Buenos Aires, as I would, reading the results of this survey, propose now to ICANN and to ICANN staff and to the working group, then we should agree on the course of action and how to proceed, how it should be developed, because we never really did it cross-constituency-wise. We should develop a curriculum. We should agree on the trainers. We should agree on the times, on how it is going to be organized, and so on and so forth. And we have meeting in between, the Durban meeting, where we can meet physically. But in between, I think there is a lot of work to be done to actually develop the survey, and not the survey, the curriculum and the program for such a leadership program. And in parallel, assisting Matthew to develop the online education tool, because we remember the ICANN Academy framework is building on the harmonization and synchronization of all the different modules. So it's very much important that each module is not developed separately from each other, but they are going into each other, that one module is used for another one, the online module, which is hopefully in place by Buenos Aires or by autumn in 2013, that we can use part from the online module already for preparation for the face-to-face leadership program, and also the other way around, that somebody who participated in a leadership or in a newcomers program can then conclude his educational training using the online education tool. This would actually be the best course or the best result if there is a really synchronized approach between all the different modules. Are there any questions, comments? Because I was speaking all the time with only very little participation from others, and I would be really interested in what you're thinking, or what general conclusion you would survey, or if you have other ideas how to proceed in Beijing and after. Nope, no comments at all. Okay, I see Wolf and Glenn, they are pretty much busy on the chat. Maybe Glenn, Wolf, you have something you like to tell us orally and not in written form? Glenn has no mic. Okay. If there are no questions and comments, I don't want to eat up all our time, because I know we are all very busy preparing for Beijing right now. I will proceed as I mentioned. I will draw the conclusions in this presentation. open for comments on the mailing list, and then for a quick review during the meeting in Beijing. But I do not expect us to spend much more time on this survey. We can then formulate jointly a recommendation or a proposal to be sent to ICANN staff and or ICANN leadership and agree on the next steps for Durban and Buenos Aires. I thank you at this stage for your participation, and remain open for any questions after this call on the mail or Skype, whatever. Thank you, and looking forward to see you all soon, and hopefully in full force for our next meeting on Monday, the 8th of April. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Sandra. Safe travels, everyone.